Well, this morning I want to share with you a passage of Scripture that really, I think, in many ways goes along with what's happening in our world today, of things that sometimes disasters come our way, sometimes bad things happen. And the passage of Scripture I'd like to read is from 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 to 16. And just want to entitle this, If My People. See, there's conditions to experiencing the blessings of God. Sometimes we just take it for granted that God's going to bless us all the time. And we need to understand there are conditional blessings that God will give to us. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to keep ourselves in check that we might experience the greatness of God and the good things of God. And one of those things is on my heart is I want to see revival. I want to see our community and our world, our Lakeland region, our province and our nation experience a revival coast to coast. And that's what's on my heart. And we're not going to experience that without checking out this scripture here. If my people. So this is a story about Solomon building the temple, one of the most beautiful temples that were built at that time. And we're going to start reading in verse 11. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything that he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Maybe as we think of some of these attacks that may happen. But if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place, because I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever, and I will as always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. Now, as I read that passage of Scripture, what was really coming into my mind was this church, this place, this temple, this building, that I believe that God wants to do those very same things right here in this very place. But it come down to that place of response. That God desires to do those great things. God desires to revive us. God desires to heal us. God desires to do all kinds of great and wonderful things. But there's conditions. If my people. If my people. Who are those people? That's the people of God. That's Christian people. Those people, if they will respond to God, if they will open up their hearts to God, God is saying, then will I pour out of my spirit and I will touch people. I will minister to people. I'll pour out blessings and open a doorway of possibilities that will blow your minds away. Now, last week, Thomas, our speaker, he shared with us about some of the things that were happening and some revivals that he was in some churches, one in Montreal and one in Langley, B.C. He really shared a message about revival, and that really just stirred up my heart again, because that's what I want. That's what I crave for. That's what I long for. That's why I'm still a minister today, because I believe that God is going to still pour out His Spirit upon this land far greater, in a greater measure than any of us have ever thought, seen, read, or even heard about, because I believe something that great really is coming this way. And so that's what, it really touched my heart as he talked about that. And that was one of the reasons I wanted him to come here, because he has gone through some of those things, and for him to share about some of those things that had happened in those churches. And I'm believing that God is going to pour out His Spirit once again, but it's not going to end. I believe it's going to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. I don't think it's going to be another 2 or 3, 4 year thing where churches are just renewed and encouraged and blessed. I believe it's going to usher in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, if we want revival, we need to realize that there's work to do on our part. You know, it's not just simply that, yeah, God's going to do it, so, you know, whatever it happens, we'll do it. No, there's a work that we need to do. The Bible says, if my people, there's a condition that is out there for all of us to pay attention to. If my people, and when we look at at revival, you'll also realize that God used the gathering of people. God uses a church. God uses a building where people will come in and they experience those revivals. Every revival that you see, you see that there was a gathering of people into the churches. And that's something we need to realize. You know, a church building is important. I know there's lots of talk today if you're out there in the Christian world and they talk about, the church isn't important. You know, you don't need to attend church. You know, it's not important. You know, as long as you just keep serving Jesus, it's okay. No, church is very, very important. I think that's a way of the enemy to take people away from churches instead of people coming to church, because church is an important place to be. Even though it's a building, it's still an important place to be that we might gather together. Now, you'll note what it says here about the dedication of this temple. And I find it significant what the Lord is saying about a building. And he's saying here in 2 Chronicles 7, 15 and 16, he says, my eyes will be open and my ears are going to be attentive to every prayer in this place. And I've chosen this temple and I've set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. And I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. Now, I know that talks about that Old Testament temple, but you know, I feel that that's God's heart for this place, this church. I believe that God has set this place apart. I believe that from the beginning of time, when the gospel started happening in this area, that God wanted to move in this place. It's interesting that the land that you're on, There's a man, Mr. Holomas, not the Holomas that's here, but his dad, wanted to know that if at some point that church grows, he believed that he needed to have a portion of this land to be dedicated to God for a church to be built. It's in the soil. I'm telling you, it's in the soil that God is wanting to do something in this very, very spot. It's important. But it tells us, If the people of God will just simply come together and meet together, God can do such great and mighty things. And you know, as we read into the New Testament, we see that, you know, God speaks to the church. Yes, he's speaking to people, but he's also speaking to literal churches. The message to the seven churches of Revelation. I find those very interesting. How God is speaking to the church, to a building, to the people that are in a building, a particular church. In Revelation 2:1, it says, he is the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. You go back to chapter 1 of Revelation to the last verse, and it says that the lampstands are the churches. And so God is telling us that he is walking in the midst of a literal church. You may not realize that. You may not understand that. But I can tell you something. The Bible tells me that the Lord walks in the midst of the church. The Lord is walking. You don't see him, but he's walking in the midst of this church. He's looking for people where there's faith. He's looking for people that are desiring him, that are seeking after him, that want more of him. And he's looking to touch people. He's looking for people that are hurting and broken and need restoration, and need refreshing in their lives, and need renewal in their lives. He's looking for people as he walks in the midst of the church. That tells me that church, a building, is also very, very important. Also, as I look at the end of each address to every church, it says, Revelation 2:7, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. He's speaking to the church. Friends, if we can't be bothered to come to a church, if church isn't important in our lives, then you're missing out. You're missing out from some things that God wants to reveal, because sometimes God only reveals things to a church body, into a building. That's where you might hear. So sometimes if you remove yourself from a church, you're not involved in a church, you don't think church is important, then you are missing things that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you that you will only hear in the bounds of a local church. This morning it talks about if my people. It's the people in the churches. If my people. If my people will only respond. You know, sometimes, you know, we look at our Christianity and we sometimes like the smaller things. You know, we like our connecting groups or our Bible study groups or, you know, our prayer meetings or whatever, and it's a smaller group, and we need that. We need to connect with other people. We need those times of encouragement. I can look in this last year and a half, last 2 years of personal encounters that I had with God and how God has spoken to me and touched me, and that's awesome. I'll never, ever forget those moments and experiences. But as I got thinking about, well, what impact did that have? Had a great impact upon me, but what was the impact upon my community? Hardly anything. When we have these small gatherings, what impact does it have in our community? Honestly, it really doesn't have much. I can remember in our old church, we met there for years, and we finally came when we built this church. And I remember the comments that I got immediately as we started building this church. People were shocked. People were surprised in our community, and they didn't mean it as an insult, but they would come up to you and they say, you know, we didn't realize that you were a big church. We really thought that you were just some insignificant little group meeting in a small building. We didn't know it was that large inside. We didn't know that you had that many people. Even some of the churches in our community all of a sudden became alarmed, realized, we didn't know you were that big. All of a sudden there was an impact. All of a sudden they were seeing that, hold it now, these people are serious. God's wanting to do something. You know, and so interestingly, when you look at what impacts this community most from our church, it's not when we pray. It's not when we're doing our Bible studies or having our special meetings and having speakers come in. You know, the greatest testimony that I hear from our community is that a foolish parking lot. They come by this place and they see a church where there's people. They see a gathering of cars and vehicles here almost every day of the week, and they come by and they say, there's something happening, obviously, at your church because of a parking lot. That's not spiritual at all. You know, we can chase all those spiritual things sometimes, but that's what's impacting a lot of the people in this community. They see the parking lot is full. It's not spiritual at all. But we want to have an impact. I want to have an impact upon our community and upon our church, our whole area. I was getting gas this week, and there was a lady in front of me, and she's moving away from our community. And she knew the gas attendant, and so she was kind of complaining about St. Paul. And she was saying, I hate this town. There's nothing to do in this town. There's no fun in this town. It's a small town thinking. I just want to get out of here. And when I thought of that, I said, hold on here. Hold on. I have a place for you. I have a desire. I'll show you a picture at the end of what I would like to see happening in this town so that we can have people that say, man, this is exciting. I can do this in this town, this in this town, and folks it all right into a church. But that offends me. I don't know if that offends you. There's a lot of people that are wondering, why am I here? I believe everyone's here for a reason. Man, don't get discouraged if you're here, if that's not kind of a community you want to be a part of. God wants you to hear because he wants to do something great in this community. So you better say, thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful that I'm in this town. I'm thankful in this community because God is doing something in this place and is going to get so big that it'll touch a nation. Hang in there. But it comes back to, if my people. If my people. Plural. It's not talking about just a small group. It's talking about the group, the whole group. And I think sometimes we can get so focused on our individual likes and our individual ministries and all those kinds of things. And those are important. They're good. I'm not trying to make any light of that. But we also need to understand there's an importance of us gathering together as the whole church and to believe God for some things. That's what we need to do. So I want to look at this passage here a little bit. And I just pray that God would just speak to you in the area that, you know, needs to speak to you, and that you'll just receive something from Him, not necessarily from me, but from Him, that His Spirit will just speak something into your life as we look at this morning. But see, first of all, as God looks at the church, as God is looking at His people, He calls out to His people and He says, if you will humble yourselves. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. Any move of God, any revival that takes place, there needs to be humility. Most revivals that end, you can kind of most time trace it back where pride got in there. Look at us. We're that wonderful church. We're that great church. And there's no church better than our church. And all of a sudden the focus is on themselves instead of on the one who gave that revival. So any move of God begins with us humbling ourselves, examining ourselves, looking to our own shortcomings, our defects, maybe bad attitudes that we might have, moving away from that focus then just on self, but then also include others as well. Sometimes it's good to actually look at ourselves as a church and say, are we humbling ourselves as a church? Not just as individuals, but as a group right here, all of us. Are we humbling ourselves before the Lord? Are we getting that place where we are really looking at any shortcomings or defects or attitudes that we may have that aren't really the attitudes God would have for us? Humbling ourselves, that we would deal with any pride that may be getting away. And I really feel, since this passage is about if my people, to not necessarily be always focused on that individual part. I want to focus more on the plural part, all of us. So if you can just kind of keep that in mind, that's kind of where I'm focusing. I'm not trying to make less of our individual response, but I want to look at our response as a group in plural. If God's people, if all of us here in this place could come together, work together, despite our differences, despite, you know, what we may, our likes, our dislikes, and that we would simply choose, we need to work together that we might see the gospel go forward and impact our land. See, it's important that we would humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 6, it says, and all of you serve each other in humility. So as we serve one another, we need to be serving one another with humility. Because God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He's going to lift you up in honor. There's a right time where God will honor you. But sometimes we just need to get to that place and we practice humility, you know, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, working together with one another, that the gospel might go forward. So if we humble ourselves, put aside those differences, likes, and all those kinds of things, and just simply choose, I'm coming together with the body. Because I know as I come together with the body, we grab God's attention. When we join in and we start worshiping the Lord together, there's nothing like it. I tell you, that grabs God's attention. It really does. If we want revival, if we want breakthroughs, if we want signs, wonders, miracles, then we need to prepare ourselves by humbling ourselves, going from just worrying about me to worrying about us. And that's what God's looking for. If my people. Secondly, God calls His people, every one of us, to pray. Pastor Adam shared a beautiful passage of Scripture that talks that he who seeks will find. He who knocks, the door will be opened. As you keep practicing that, something's going to happen. Something's going to break, but we need to pray. And we do have a great praying church. There's a lot of great praying people in this church. I think we're very blessed by people that are praying in this church. Very blessed. But the Bible says, verse 14 again, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray. Easy to say, not always easy to do. We live in a culture in North America that is extremely busy. And we're guilty of making ourselves busy. We get ourselves involved in so many areas and think that, well, this is what we need to do because they're available. And so we busy ourselves with so many things that really don't matter at all as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Doesn't mean that they're bad. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't do them. There's just a lot of things we all do that really make no difference in the kingdom of God. It's just pleasure. We enjoy doing it. And that's okay. There's good things to do like that. But we need to be careful that we don't get to that place where we're so busy doing all those other things that we forget the important thing, like simply to pray, to come together, to pray. Corporate prayer is so important. Now, I realize that we have various prayer meetings throughout the week. We have some great ladies that they come in on Wednesday mornings and they pray. And sometimes it's kind of comical because they get it a hooting and a hollering. There sometimes there. They really get blessed in there sometime. And it's kind of neat listening to that at times. And then you're trying to get your work done too. But they're good. They're praying. Or, you know, there's been a good gathering of men on Monday nights. And I believe last Monday night was one of your biggest numbers, I think, Ron, right? That you had a great number of men, 20-some men, I believe, that were out there praying. Well, we need those kinds of prayer. But we also need all of us to come and pray. Like, that's fantastic. But imagine what would happen if every one of us in this place, we actually came for a prayer meeting. That every one of us would, maybe even on a Sunday morning, if we all came and that room was so packed that we'd all be like this and we're all praying. Don't you think it would make a difference? And see, that's what God's trying to say. Well, if my people, if they'll only do that, if they'll only take that extra effort to pray and to seek me, then I'm going to pour out something so wonderful, so powerful. See, it is good to pray individually. We need to do that. But it's also important that we pray corporately. We've been doing a Bible study here with John Bevere. Excellent man of God. I believe he has the heartbeat of the church that he preaches and speaks on subjects that the church is dealing with. And we didn't really have a lot of numbers. Maybe we put it on too many opportune times. But I want you to get the message that man was sharing, because that's what you get when you go to other churches. You'll hear a lot of these false things that will take you astray. We don't want you to go astray, so we try to bring in things that will help you not to go astray. But as we finished that, I was thinking, well, what's to do next? And I had a few other series to do, and I really just felt the Lord say, just pray. And if there's two people, I want you just to pray. And so that's what we're going to do. But if you are free on Wednesday night, what a greater blessing than we can do to be praying on the other side of this sanctuary while a bunch of young people are in here seeking God, getting touched by God. And let me tell you, a lot of these young people do not go to our church. A lot of these young people come from the community. And they're experiencing God. They're being touched by God. Some of them, I would call them orangutans. But you know what? God is touching them. God is transforming them. So wouldn't it be great if we just start praying that God would just start doing even more in those people's lives, those young people's lives, and that this sanctuary all of a sudden would become so full that this here would become the new youth room of the new church. But God can do that. But we need to pray. If my people. If my people. It's interesting that Jesus said about church, about a literal building. Matthew 21:13, he says, my temple will be called a house of prayer. So in other words, Jesus is telling us that when he comes to a gathering of people, a gathering of a church in a church building, he's expecting to find people praying. God expects that. So obviously, we as the church people here, we need to be praying. We need to be coming and gathering together and praying corporately for God to touch us in this church, in this community, in this region, in this province, and in our land. We really need to be doing that. I don't, you know, like some of these terrible tragedies that are happening around the world, and I pray that, you know, that we won't continue to have tragedies like that. But often tragedies will bring people back to God. I don't want that to happen in Canada. I don't want to see terrorist attacks in Canada. So if I start praying and you start praying and we start praying, I believe it'll break that power. And that we'll start seeing an outpouring of what God really wants to do in this land of His Holy Spirit. There is no revival without prayer. You can go in all the history books and look at all the revivals that have ever taken place, and there's always that common denominator of people were praying. And often most revivals broke out as people were praying. So we need to be doing that. I encourage you to come out to those corporate times of prayer. They're more important than what you think. Even as simple as Sunday morning is, it's not a long prayer time, but I'm telling you, it makes a difference in every service that as we will come together and pray. Then thirdly, God calls His people to seek Him, to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. There's an effort that's required. We need to seek the Lord. We don't experience a lot of the blessings of God because we don't bother seeking it. Or as Adam was sharing about prayer, that, you know, persistence. God honors persistence. You know, we pray once or twice for an issue in our lives and we don't see something happen, so we stop. And nothing happens, for sure. God's waiting for us to be persistent. How much do you want it? How much do you want to see people in this community come to Christ? How much do you want to see this church overflow? How much do you want to see the destiny of this land that we have right here? Then you will seek His face. And you will come as a body to seek His face. God, as again, that focus this morning, I want to focus on the corporate part, even though there's a strong individual part. If my people, if all of God's, if all of us would be active in seeking the Lord, what would happen? What would happen? See, I really believe that we underestimate the power of meeting together, of praying together, worshiping together, seeking the Lord together. You know, we just don't value that enough until it's gone. And then all of a sudden you're valuing it. Corporate seeking leads to corporate blessing that can change our community. I think of Matthew 6:33. We sometimes just apply that to ourselves individually. Let's look at that corporately. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He'll give you everything that you need. So He's telling us corporately, if we will seek the Lord, if we will seek the Lord as a body of this church, and if we will cry out to Him, then we're going to receive everything that we need. We'll receive the healing, we'll see the miracles, we'll see the breakthroughs, we'll see all that stuff. If together, we will seek Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, God rewards those who sincerely seek Him. God wants to do it. God wants to reward us. But He tells us there's a part for you and I to play if we will seek Him. Efforts required. Coming together is required. There's so much today against coming together. And it's the very thing that we need to do. Bible even tells us so, that in these last days that there's the importance of coming together to do so. And I don't know about you, but as I look around this world, these are definitely last days that are happening around us. If my people will seek the Lord. Then lastly, God calls His people, all of us, to turn from our wicked ways. The rest of verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Again, it's another important step that we need to make towards revival. That we actually repent of our sins. That we turn from our sins. If we are not turning from our sins, then we really didn't repent from our sins. Don't be deceived today that you're going to be revived, that God's going to bless you, God's just going to pour out His Spirit upon you anyway, and that you can live any way that you want. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Today we have a grace movement And there's a lot of important truths of grace, but when someone says grace today, you don't understand, your ears kind of pick up because you're wondering, well, which side of grace are you going to talk about? So there is a new name out there, and it's actually what we call hyper grace, but most people that believe in that wouldn't even know that that's what it's called. But basically, hyper grace is something that's being preached in North America that says that we don't need to be concerned about turning from sin, because it's all covered by grace, and so you can live any way you want to. God's going to bless you. God's going to touch you. Don't you worry about how you live. That's called hyper grace. Now, it is true that we are saved by grace. You cannot earn your salvation. It's not by doing our deeds. It's not by the works that we have done, but it's by the grace of God that we receive salvation. 100% true. However, as you receive the grace of God, there's an impartation that comes from the grace of God that then there's a desire grows up inside of you that you're going to be appreciative of the grace that has been given to you that then was going to further transform your life, that you're not going to live like that anymore. You're not going to live those old ways anymore because you've experienced a grace that you didn't earn that came upon you, that cleansed you of your sins and washed you of your sins, that you are a new person, a new creature in Christ. So at appreciation, you're going to live for Him because you've repented of your sins. You've received a grace that you didn't deserve. That's what true grace is talking about. See, there's a lot of people today, you don't know what kind of grace that you receive. You received an illegitimate grace. You received a counterfeit grace. If you think that you can keep going and do anything that you want in life and that everything's going to be A-okay, that's a counterfeit grace. True grace is going to empower you to start living for God, to start turning from sin and away from the wicked things that we used to do. Romans chapter 6, 1, the Apostle Paul, he really gives a really good job. Obviously, that's a problem throughout the centuries. It just keeps resurfacing. And he says in Romans 6, 1, well then, and he's talking about this grace that people are just applying that, well, it's all grace. We don't have to worry how we live. He says, well, should we keep on sinning so that God can just show us even more and more of His wonderful grace? And he answers it quite quickly. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So if you received a grace of God, the true grace of God, there will be an impartation in you that will cause you to live for God, to turn from your wicked ways. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, I don't know how clear it needs to be. If we want revival, if we want a move of God corporately, God is looking for all of us to turn away from wicked ways. Paul goes on to say, the Apostle Paul, Romans 6, 12 to 13, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. If you have been watching that series by John Bevere, it really nailed that grace doctrine to the door and threw it out. But here's the key. It says, instead, give yourselves completely to God. See, that's what's happening in especially North American Christianity. We only give ourselves partially to God. When God is saying, I want you to give yourself completely to me. See, we settle for far less. We've convinced people out there, a lot of Christians, that you know what? You don't need to give it all for Jesus anymore. You just need to give a little bit to Jesus and go out and party, enjoy your life. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, give yourself completely to God. 100%. All of it. You want revival? You want to grab God's attention? Then we need to come to that place where we all of us, turn from our wicked ways. Friends, I really want a revival. I want to see God move in greater ways. And you know, in this church, there have been so many people that have encountered God and been touched by God. People are getting saved. You know, your baptisms that we've had of late, People are testifying of what God has done, and that's so awesome and so wonderful. But I want to see that continue. I want to see that double and triple and just keep going and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, because God doesn't want to just save a few of us. He wants to save all of us. He wants to save this whole community. And I think we need to be believing for this community and make this a place that is central for people to be touched in every area of their lives. Coming together, working together, may mean humbling ourselves. May mean that we need to take a little bit more time to come together in those corporate prayer times. It may mean that we need to come together more to just spend time to seek Him. We may need to come and together and start looking at ourselves and seeing areas where we have sinned against God. And then to start to repent of our sins and turn from our sins. Because the rest of that verse is a very important part as we close with this part of this verse. It says, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. That's what God desires to do if my people, if corporately we will respond, God will respond. But it's conditional, if my people. And I want to encourage you, friends, yes, continue Christian fellowship. We need that so badly. But don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. Because God is wanting to do something as we gather together as saints.